just got the popcorn.
This thing had better have hot guys or cool science, otherwise I'm out of here.
Wow, she kind of looks like my ex.
Damn it, Rod. Now I'm going to be sick when she gets naked later.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to Movies in the Buff, where we strip down, objectify, and thoroughly violate your favorite movies, and apparently Truman's wife. Here is your team of debauchery, Crazy Carl.
Your eco-dome is unimpressive. I once dated a girl who had two of those things that could be seen from space on her chest.
No. So you had to clarify it. That just made it worse.
Sexy Scully.
So that's 2 hours of my time I'm never going to get back.
Ouch.
Yeah. Really?
We'll get into it. Lovely Lisa.
Dude, that's not from an airplane.
Susan, I saw that scene, and the only thing I could think of was a Mythbusters thing where they were trying to prove that the pee from an airplane could freeze and kill people. Not kidding, this happened. Like, this actually happened, and not only that was filmed and put on television.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, so this week we are buffing The Truman Show. An insurance salesman slash adjuster discovers his entire life is actually a TV show. Best synopsis ever. All right.
Now you folks know what we watched, and there it is, in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, people who like this also liked Rain Man.
Great movie.
Good Will Hunting.
Awesome movie.
Scent of a Woman.
Never saw it.
Django Unchained.
Still need to see that one.
I
haven't seen it.
And One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Awesome movie.
Really good one.
There's three really good movies and three I haven't seen, so...
Yeah, I've never even heard of Scent of a Woman, and it's a Pacino.
Oh, God, I've heard of
it. Oh, I've totally heard of it. It's one of those, like, you have to see.
I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, so let's do the like and dislike. And since Scully has something to say, I'm going to save her for last because I get the feeling it's going to be an argument. So.
Okay.
All right, Lisa, were you wet or frigid for this movie?
Frigid.
Why?
I don't like Jim Carrey. The first thing I ever saw him in was Ace Ventura. Does that answer your question?
Not at all.
Have you ever seen Ace Ventura?
I have. That's not what this is. Like,
yeah,
not even.
But I get her point of, you know, if you really hate an actor's breakout role, you have trouble liking the actor. I have that problem with other actors, so I get it. I don't agree with her, but I get it.
I don't see it. I guess I just. Okay, wait, no. Angelina Jolie. Makes sense. all right.
See?
Although, I gotta admit, she was hot in Gia. It was just a terrible movie. But, all right. Carl?
Definitely hard for this movie. Like, even watching it for this show, there are things I catch about it, watching it specifically to review. But even with that, I still end up liking this movie.
I agree with you completely. With exception of all the scenes that had Jim Carrey's ass covering the camera. Oh my god. There were way too many scenes of Jim Carrey's ass in this movie.
There was one.
No, there were like six. Oh. There was only one that was really, really cute.
Don't at them? Come on.
I didn't even notice them.
I only noticed the one because it was
there's
so terrible.
When you're not real, like you're bouncing back and forth between the movie. And you're not really watching it because you've seen it so many times, you know what's going on the screen. And you look back and like six different times, all you see is Jim Carrey's ass. You start realizing, wait a minute, they've done this joke way too often. Anyway, Scully, wet or frigid for this movie?
Frigid.
Explain.
It's so boring. Like,
okay, why do you find this boring?
It's a subject I do not like. I do not like movies that portray the average human being as being a complete, like, brainwashed, mind-numbed idiot. I would prefer anything that would at least give social because let's face it, the world is really full of mind-numbing idiots. I don't want to be reminded of that in a movie. I watch a movie to take a break and have some mental stimulation. This just reminds me that as soon as I turn this movie off, nothing changed. World is not better than you think it is.
I like the fact that, and I'm just going to get it out of the way, I'm extremely hard for this movie. It's definitely within my top 10. But I like the fact that at the end of the movie, nothing changed except he's gone.
Nothing changes between the scene or the environment world that they built in the movie versus the one I get to go back to when the movie's done. I.e. credits start rolling and I turn around and I can see the same thing. Bunch of idiots asking where the TV guide is.
I mean, that's what the subtext is here in this film.
I don't like that.
I love the idea of holding the mirror to society.
Okay, I work with the general public on a regular basis. I don't want to have to deal with more general public in my entertainment.
Yeah, I'm going to give Scully a break here because she's been really, really hammered with stupid support idiots lately. And having to watch, and I can see that having that coloring an impression of this movie.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. I'm just saying that's the very difference in what I like in my, not just my films, but my art in general. I love the mirror to society. I love the, you're stupid, stop mentality.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was no stop for this. There was 90% of the people saying, yay, I want to keep watching this, don't let it stop, and the other 10% were like, dude, you have this guy trapped in a cage for life, and you never told him that. That's great.
Okay, let's see here. Who would you do? Scully, who would you do in this film? Not that you had a lot of decent options.
Yeah, none, and I completely forgot that there was actually, like, somebody to do, because I was pretty much asleep the entire time. So, yeah, I really don't know. Can you come back to me for, like, a second? I can at least get, like, some pictures. Because given the extra list, I might be able to find somebody in the extras that's even more.
We can do, like, Japanese guy.
Like, yes, actually. Or one of the Japanese guys. Like, no, dude in the cub, no.
He should get the Porn Stash Award.
Oh my god.
You know, you're not wrong about that.
Yeah.
You're not wrong about that. All right, so Carl, who would you do in Truman Show?
Oh, so you go from somebody who's got lots of options and hadn't thought about it to somebody who had little option.
And hadn't thought about it.
No, I've been thinking about it, and I still have little option. I know who it is. It's Control Room Chick, and I completely forget her name.
The Asian?
Kinda, yeah. Short black hair?
Yeah.
The only chick in the control room.
Yeah.
Which I'm surprised they do not have a picture for her profile on IMDb. I just would like to add that.
Yeah, what was her name in this?
I don't remember her name in it.
I don't even remember them calling her by name. Chloe?
Yeah, it's Chloe. Yeah, Una Damon.
Okay, I see her. But I know who you're talking about, and I'm just going to throw this out there right now. I have to 100% agree with you on that, and she's who I would pick, too, only because she's the only pseudo-attractive chick in the movie that wasn't a complete and total whore, literally.
I don't find Laura Linney very attractive at all, especially in this movie.
See, I find her attractive in certain lights. You know, like in Congo, I thought she was hot.
Now, Natasha, I'm not even going to try and pronounce her last name. The chick who played Sylvia is all right, but, you know, she's just not me. She's not my type.
She's cute, but once again, she's still a whore.
Not really.
Just surfing the bottom.
Sorry, guys.
Especially not in this movie. Whore in this movie.
I think she is. I think anybody who was on that show was a whore. And I'm including all the men, too.
No, and...
Exception of Truman.
We'll get into that when we get into our round table.
All right. Lisa, who would you do?
I think his name is Marlowe. Truman's best friend.
Marlon.
Marlon, really? The guy who stalks machine machines?
The guy who hit. Okay, scratch that question.
Yeah, that question was obvious, though.
Yeah.
But why would you do Marlin? Like, this is how not to do Ginger.
Best option available that didn't look awful.
Oh, I got one. I found one.
Okay.
And I was trying to find him. He's the second control room director, other than Paul Giamatti, Adam Tovey.
Yeah. I really expected
only
you.
Only one remotely close. Although, honestly, after watching the entire Adams series, Paul Giamatti's pretty high up on the list at this point.
Wow. Speaking of wild series, I'm a big Dylan McDermott fan. Found out that he was an American Horror Story. Been watching that most of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty decent show.
First season or second season?
First season.
Yeah. You realize that the second season is a completely different story, right?
I know.
Okay.
That's why I don't know if I'll even go to the second season, and the first season's gotten to a point where I'm like, okay, too ridiculous. Anyway, moving on into roundtable. We start with Truman waking up in the morning and all the weird interviews going on to explain what the Truman Show is.
Yeah. Oh, and the credits for the Truman Show.
And the credits
for the show. Not the movie, the credits for the show.
Yeah.
Which I kind of liked that.
I did too. I like the way that they pulled that off. I also really like the explanation of the show, seeing as how they did sound bites from interviews rather than going and telling you the whole previous story.
Yeah.
Hated the fact that later on they had to tell you the whole story.
Well, they didn't. I don't know.
Later on they have a news bite where it's like filming, broadcasting from the only thing visible from space, and you know, yeah. I hated that whole.
I kind of did like, you know, that you got to see the show from the outside in those places, because it really helped give you an idea of, you know, how all of this was done.
Okay, fair enough, but that was unnecessary explanation, in my opinion.
It ruined it. Finding out, like, the recording studio was just a huge bubble burst.
Yeah. The way it felt to me when that scene came up, there's a scene in Family Guy where the guy's talking about how much he likes kids and asks another guy if he wants to see his kids, and then starts hitting him in the face with the pictures in his wallet. And that's what this felt like to me. It felt like, okay, we've told you kind of the story, and we've let you kind of try to figure it out on your own, but here's the story, dang it, bitch!
I don't know, I kind of liked that. And what I really liked was, as far as seeing it from the outside, was the flashbacks where you're seeing, you know, how they did all the different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, showing him sitting in the crib with the camera on his, what do you call it? The thing that hangs above a crib.
Mobile,
yeah.
Mobile.
Yeah,
mobile.
Something like that.
Mobile is a location in Alabama, but yeah. A mobile is a phone.
But yeah.
We'll get it right eventually, guys.
Anyway, I like that, but then again, the realist in me is like, who the fuck is watching this? Like, why would you sit here and watch this?
No, this is, I'll tell you exactly what this is. This is them, you know, in 1998, poking fun at the reality show bubble that was just starting to form.
The only reality shows that existed in 98 were Road Rules. And Real World. And Cops. That was it.
Hadn't Survivor already aired?
No, Survivor didn't start until the 2000s, yeah.
Nothing. Reality shows didn't exist when this movie was. And that's part of the reason why I like this movie, is because it severely predicted the downfall of television.
Yeah. But this is.
But it didn't downfall. It's still popular. That's the problem. There's like tons of channels on TV that still do nothing but reality TV.
That's what he's talking about. That is the downfall of television.
It is the downfall of television. Which is directly tied into the downfall of mankind.
Yeah, I
again, you, why did I watch this movie if it's just going to be as depressing as real life? Really?
And when you.
Sounds like the reason I don't watch reality TV.
Yeah. But, Rod, when you ask, you know, who would be watching this, The answer is all the people who are currently watching, you know, Jersey Shore and, you know, all
Jersey
these.
Jersey Shore is not airing anymore.
I was going to say, Jersey Shore is not airing.
there was a praise that went through as the world got a little bit better and a little bit brighter and a little bit smarter when they
And then the very next season they got Snooki and JWoww. I'm just saying.
Okay, and then, let me change that. It's the same people who are watching Duck Dynasty. And Swamp
What
People.
Is that?
Hey, I want to clarify this a little because we've got people like your stepdad who watches Duck Dynasty.
Aren't there real ducks involved in Duck Dynasty?
Duck Dynasty is a reality TV show based on a family who made millions of dollars by having a business that makes duck calls. And fills large orders of duck calls. They're basically hillbillies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah,
that seems
it's
nowhere near as exciting as I hoped it was. I wanted it.
And it's the same story every episode. That's my big issue with most reality shows.
Yeah, I mean, pick your you know hot reality show of the year, and it's you know it's those people who are who would watch this. Like this show, you know, if you had the ability to do it, this show would sell on any network any year in the past 20.
Okay, so interesting facts. Dennis Hopper was originally cast as Kristoff, but walked off the set after his first day. Ed Harris replaced him.
Interesting. I like the fact that when they were trying to prep Ed Harris for the role, the director gave him a 10-page biography of Kristoff.
Mm-hmm.
That included him getting an award for, or him making a movie about homeless people for which he won an award.
Yeah, not interesting.
So moving on to...
Just the movie is not interesting. Sorry.
I'm really interesting.
Sam Raimi considered
is a fantastic reflection on reality TV and society's addiction to watching something that is quote unquote unscripted and spontaneous.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Can we start talking about nuclear physics or genetics or cybernetic implants? Way more interesting.
Yeah. I agree with you that I agree that those things are way more interesting. I just think that it is that, you know, the not simply, you know, the fact that people, it's not simply that people would watch this. And, you know, we're looking at a reflection of our life and our television habits. But it's also, you know, the concept of the show itself, even though you know, even knowing those things still is kind of intriguing.
No, because this is the type of social commentary that just sucks.
Yeah. And it's also that, you know, it also feeds into that little tiny part that I think exists in a lot of people's brains of, you know, that feeling like Truman said at one point, where you feel like the world revolves around you. It's that solipsistic section of your brain.
That's because in postmodernism, can point it out here, your entire life is nothing but an interior monologue. Because you're the only monologue that you know. You can't possibly have another storyline interject into your brain and your knowledge, which is why we like entertainment of movies and books and whatnot, because we get to see something from somebody else's point of view for a change.
Right.
And it's interesting to see.
Yeah. And
having
that,
the entire thing from our own interior monologue is boring.
And this, and here you're seeing, you know, you're getting a glimpse of people that who have devoted their, you know, a lot of, or you're seeing people who have, you know, devoted a lot of time into.
They're fanatics.
Either A, seeing another person's internal monologue, or B, you know, capturing and transmitting someone else's internal monologue.
Well, like I said, they're fanatics. I mean, ultimately what it is, what the entire film is, the entire concept of The Truman Show is wake up, America, you're obsessed.
I don't know. I actually had to dig. I had to dig 6 feet, and then I had to dig some more to find something that was even remotely redeeming about this movie, and I did find one little thing that's a different take on the movie, because I do weird shit like that, that actually somewhat redeemed the entire thing, is that the human, in and of themselves, can, if they try, and if they look, still see through the entire mirage that is life. We can still discover what is behind the door. We can still step through it. It's hard, it's difficult, there's challenges, and trust me, many people die in the process, but we have come so far to be able to break out of our dome, to be able to find out that the Earth doesn't revolve around the sun, that the Earth revolves around the sun, which is a tiny little speck in a galaxy, in a universe that is constantly expanding. Sorry.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of thing where we have that capacity to be able to keep pushing through the next layer of reality, to constantly be fighting and searching and looking for the next layer. And that's the commentary that they make where Truman is like, there's something more to this. I want to go look. I want to be human. I want to explore. I want to go find something. And he's not deterred by, well, there's nothing else to find. There's nothing else out there. He says, I want to see it anyway.
You know, Scully, you and I are going to have to get together at some point and record an episode and record just something, our own personal two-part episode where we explore the theory of Truman as man and Christoph as God. Because I was thinking the same thing towards the end of that movie.
I think of Truman as man and everyone else as social pressure, like kings and queens and monarchies and society and that general populist oppression of the world's flat, you're an idiot for thinking it's round. Well, no, actually, here it is round. I can actually show you between two points that there is a different height or length in shadow, like... to be able to force the general populace to be able to say, look, that's not all there is. I'm not going to listen to everyone. I'm going to do what I want to do.
Well, Carl, the idea that you're presenting there, I mean, it's obvious in the movie, and they do things to make it obvious. Like, for example, here in the trivia, just before the boat stops, we see the number 139 prominently displayed on its sail. The ensuing dialogue between Truman and Christoph contains some paraphrased references to Psalm 139, as do many other aspects of the film. That was like, the concept.
They call him the creator. They call him creator. They don't call him director or anything. They keep referring to him as creator. So they really do like over punch that stupid point. I'm like, okay, we get it. It's funny. Got it.
Now, I do want to point out the fact that when I watched this film this time, it was the first time in probably 5 years I've seen this film. Probably 10, actually.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
And to me, it was just as good as the first time. And I like the idea that this was one of Jim Carrey's breakout of the silly roles.
Yeah.
My biggest issue I have with it is Jim Carrey, the more I get to know about him, the more I realized how big his ego is. And, like, there are things that he does in his films that makes me realize he has no respect for where he came from.
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care either.
not to like belittle your point, but I really just don't care about him as an actor. Like, I'm sure he's fantastic. He's done a lot of movies. He gets a lot of money for it. He does a lot of physical acting more than anything. And yeah, that's great. Nice.
But he,
big deal.
I appreciate him as an actor, and that's about as far as it goes. Like, I appreciate him in movies, but I am not, you know, as far as, you know, this is, you know, he is who he is in whatever movie he's acting in, to me. Mm-hmm. You know, and whether that's a bad or a good thing depends entirely on the movie.
Mm. He does do a hell of a rendition of I Am the Walrus, so I'll give him that.
Oh, I'll give him that one. Holy God, that's an awesome cover.
That was an awesome cover. Anyway, so
Holy
moving
crap.
On.
Where are we in this movie?
Moving on through the scene by scene here, since we haven't gotten past the first friggin' scene. Okay, so Truman is married to Meryl, who you find out later he met while he was trying to hook up with some other chick.
who wasn't supposed to be there. She had snuck on to be an extra.
Oh, no, it wasn't. No, she hadn't snuck onto the set.
She was an extra.
She wasn't supposed to talk to
She was an extra. She wasn't supposed to talk to him.
Then how come she got away with wearing the button that says, "How does it all end?" Because that's something that they would never have allowed an extra to wear on that set, unless like completely making shit up. I can do that too. Because let's face it, I wasn't paying that much attention.
Yeah, I think that I don't think that the button was that big a deal because it doesn't. It's not something that is obviously referential to the show. Like, unless you know that it's referencing the show, it doesn't reference the show. And even Jim Carrey. You know, he looks at it and he says, "I asked myself that same question."
It's because he doesn't know there's a show.
Exactly.
But it didn't help because it just gave him more and more ammo to try, like, to put things together later on.
Oh no, that was not the even part of the ammo. The ammo is how badly they treated.
There's a lot of ammo.
All kinds of things. Yeah.
There's tons of ammo. You could do an entire like, what is everything that goes set wrong from. Elevator to light falling out of sky, the whole thing.
Oh yeah, you know the, but you know even not just the you know the oops things like the light falling or the elevator, but like the you know he sees his you know his dad manages to sneak onto the set and
which is why I think that she snuck onto the set because if the dad did and they did say that other people had snuck onto the set and
oh yeah we see that.
Horrible examples, but they say that many people have snuck onto the set previously, which is why I think that she had snuck onto the set.
I have to ask a question about this woman, okay? She has dedicated her life from, arguably, either from the time that she snuck onto the set or from the time that she was kicked off of it, to freeing Truman. Now, they had, what, 6 hours together, max? And yet, what's that?
If that.
Yeah.
But yet he has spent the rest of his life obsessing about this woman, which honestly, and I know I'm throwing this really wild conspiracy theory in here, but I came up with this while I was watching it through this time. I think that Truman himself is a psychological case and like entirely. He has severe narcissistic complex. He is obsessive. He has a terrible fear of rejection.
The whole world has revolved around him his entire life. What do you think that's going to do to somebody's psyche?
I more want to know what happens a month later.
There are people like this out in the real world. You see them apply for jobs. I've had to work with these people, and you cannot work with them because they don't know what to do in real life. They've been handed everything on a silver platter their entire life. They get their first job because daddy, you know, is the neighbor to the CEO or, you know, is in, you know, has somebody in HR, whatever. They get hired, and they don't do shit. You end up having to work harder just to make up for them. And they quickly end up, unfortunately, being promoted or moved around, which really is irritating because the world just keeps handing them shit on a silver platter. And they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Scully, this seems like a personal issue.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I gotcha.
This is the worst part. He's going to get out of there, and it's going to be the same thing. Because now, even though he's out of that dome, he still is such a highly recognized face that he's still going to be treated as a star. The world is still going to revolve around him. Nothing is going to actually change. He just gets a bigger dome.
But what if he was never on TV? The whole thing happened within his psyche.
Yeah, I don't want to explore that one.
I do.
And
then we find out he didn't wake up.
No, that's like Scully's Fight Club theory, only worse, Rod. And
it really is, but I mean, really think about it. This guy does have severe narcissistic issues. He is obsessing. I mean, in the film, you watch him obsess over this chick for 30-some-odd years. That's a slight exaggeration, but you get my point.
And I think
it was 30 years.
And I think that was, I think part of that is because this was the first, you know, this was out of all of the things that have, you know, screwed up and gone wrong, you know, all of the trigger or all of the signals to him, this is the first one that was blatant and that he was old enough to recognize. Like, this is the first one of those that we, because the way they handled her talking to him was horrible.
It was. Like, and all I'm saying, though, is the magazine cutout picture, that serial killer.
Yeah. Like,
serial killer area, man.
I know, it's like, and I know the director of the movie was trying to be like, oh, true love. Like, this is how true love is. You always remember their face. That's a bunch of crap.
So it left
Psycho, that's what that's called. Stalker. Yeah. Stalker, somebody who, like, won't leave you alone, or, like...
And the worst part is, sitting there, all of this happened. Like, at some point, you know, he has to deal with the fact that he hooks up with her after he gets out. And
he realizes reality bites.
He saw everything he did in private for the last 30 years.
He has nothing to talk about with her. That's the worst part. He can't tell her anything. Can you imagine him going into a relationship in the real world? He's got nothing. It's like, oh, I remember, you know, she starts telling him, well, my dad's really rough on me. He's like, well, my dad left. She's like, yeah, when you were like 4 on a sailboat. I watched that episode like 14 times. Like, how is he supposed to be interesting? Everybody knows. I can go kill myself. I'd be like, yep, nope, I'm done.
Anyway, okay, so moving on.
By the way, Rod, I want to point out the director.
Mm-hmm.
Same director as Deadfoot Society and Master and Commander.
You know, I've never seen Master and Commander. I love Dead Poets Society.
It's Master and Commander is long, but it is interesting. I've only seen it once.
One that I want to see.
Yeah.
But I have a problem. A lot of Russell Crowe's films are ones that I want to see.
Yeah.
I never get around to. And
can we move through the movie? Because we're like just drink, people. Drink and drink and drink. And
no, we're not always going on tangents. We are actually discussing elements of
the movie. Yeah, we're discussing elements of the movie. We're just not doing it as a scene by scene. Which played this
just week. Drink until you've forgotten that we did this movie.
Well, the basis of this film is, as a scene by scene, is everything's okay. Oh no, he realizes something's wrong. He starts trying to figure out how to get out and drives himself crazy, comes up with a master plan, escapes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is a boring here to there line, but it's the interactions that I find so appealing to this movie.
And not only the interactions, but the, you know, the ideas that are spawned while, or brought up through what you're seeing.
Exactly. And I mean, just the way that the people react to him and the way that he reacts to the world around him. To me, that's just interesting, and I guess it's just because I'm so into, you know, psychology, sociology, that kind of thing, but to me, that just, that is what I enjoy.
Yeah, but to me, watching it this time, the biggest, the biggest problems that I saw with, you know, how this was treated is how they reacted, is how badly they, either how badly they reacted to the unexpected. Or how terribly they reacted to things that he'd already seen. Like, you know, Sylvia or his dad, when his dad snuck back onto the set. You know, both of those things could have been handled much, much better and would not have caused the problems that they did.
You know what I actually noticed about this film this time through was that, the actors that they hired for a show that was supposed to be like this are the worst improv actors I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, they had no improv skills.
Yeah, and I think...
Well, they make fun of that, too. Like, the poor bus driver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't know how to drive a bus. And then later on, they're actors. They don't know how to drive a boat. I'm like, you're just really making fun of these people and that there's a reason they don't know how to react to this stuff is because they don't even know how to act. They don't know how to do normal everyday things. So what makes you think they would react normally when something
out of
normal comes in?
The guy who drives the bus can't actually drive the bus. He blows up the bus on purpose.
No, he actually looks at Truman like, I can't do this.
No,
like,
yeah, no. He actually looks at it and is like, I don't know what to do. And he starts shifting his gears. I'm like, nice job.
See, I thought,
but then the funny thing is, he does the same thing to the boat.
From leaving.
No. He does the same thing on the boat. He looks at the boat and he starts to do the same stuff. And he's like,
yeah,
I don't want
to. But he says, hey, I only know how to, I just know how to drive the bus.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the bus does actually move.
All I heard him say was, hey, I'm a bus driver.
Yeah.
I'm the bus driver, which is like an actor saying, I'm, you know, this character. This is what I do. Why are you putting me out of my
this
feet?
When Truman gets on the bus and he looks at the guy that's loading the bus and he's like, what the hell do I do now?
Yeah, and that's why I think he blew up. That's why I think he knows how to drive the bus.
Mm.
Because, you know, the bus does actually move in the show because you see it all over the place.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
And I think that because, you know, he's on, you know, Truman has now gotten on the bus that's supposed to take him to Chicago. This bus cannot physically take him to Chicago. What the hell am I going to do? I'm going to blow the transmission on the bus.
Mm-hmm. I do like the level of control that they throw in there with the, you know, he walks into the travel company and they've got pictures of him hitting planes and shit. Back me up.
This could happen to you.
The teacher, oh, you're too late. It's already all been explored.
Yep.
But anyway, I love the way that they tried to control him.
Yeah.
But that's what I also, those were the aspects to the only factor of the movie that I liked was all of these things like the world is like, oh, the world's scary. Just stay at home on the farm, marry the neighbor's kid, we'll have a bigger farm, it'll be great.
Yeah.
But they want to go to the city, they want to earn money, they want to go, you know, learn stuff and see stuff and explore. And even though everything around you is being like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
Yeah.
It's scary. You're going to die.
Yeah. And I got to say that, you know, choosing Meryl to be, you know, his love interest was probably the
silly
mistake they ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like how they did it. And, you know, it would have made good. It would have made okay storytelling. But it turned into a crap. But it was, you know, it was a crap choice. And you really see that. Whereas, you know, had they, you know, left it a little looser and not tried, you know, to force him into that, I think they would have ended up A, with a better show, and B, running longer, because you wouldn't have had this dissonance between him and the world around him.
Well, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but it's a Matrix conundrum where you have, when you create the perfect world, the human brain's going to question it.
Mm. Yeah, but this wasn't a perfect world for him.
No.
That was what was causing problems.
But the problem was that he didn't have options in the world.
Not really.
He wasn't really left with options.
No.
He was steered in each direction instead of letting him make his own decisions.
Some of that, yeah, but that wasn't his real problem. His real problem was that you know, the world that he was being presented with seemed perfect, but it wasn't perfect for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't necessarily because he didn't have options. It was just because his, you know, his dreams, his inner personality was not right for, you know, it wasn't right for him.
Yeah.
And it was actually like at the end when the director, Christoph, is talking to him, he's like, or no, it was when Sylvia was talking to Christoph, and she was like, you don't know anything about him. And he's like, we know everything about him. And I'm like, actually, technically, you may, but you didn't actually pay attention. You're kind of like the parent who just didn't care enough to notice that your kid happens to not like baseball and likes ballet.
Right.
You're the parent who is living in a delusion that your child is completely like the perfect ideological boy when your boy happens to like playing piano and being in theater and, you know, exploring creative stuff. You're
well, now clearly I'm having flashbacks to my childhood.
Did your parents make you play piano, Rod?
No, they tried to make me play football.
Yeah, and Truman, you know, and Truman himself even says this to Christoph. He's like, you never had a camera inside my head.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of the problem is that, you know, no matter what, everybody in the world was seeing everything that he did, and nobody was understanding it.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is his skill set now that he, like, sorry, because I really didn't care about the movie. I like thinking more about, like, okay, what do you do if you are literally known to every household and your life has been built up around you? He has absolutely no skill set whatsoever.
You go back to selling insurance?
Yeah.
But he doesn't have the skill set for that.
Yeah, he does.
No.
Yeah, he actually went to school and learned to do it.
Yeah. Like, he
just made the school in the town.
Yeah, a pretend school. They made him have the grades that he got. So they would play him up to be smarter. They would, like, yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Hi, it's an entirely made-up world. Why on earth would they even bother to make him feel lesser? They want him to be the star. They want him to seem super smart. So they're going to reduce all of the school grades so that he looks really smart, which is, oh, wait, what Bush did?
No,
what?
No. That's the thing. Everything, the is fake. Truman is real. And all of the things that Truman does are real.
That's just it. The world is fake. The world is fake, okay? Right. Truman has a certain intelligence level. No Child Left Behind Act comes into play. He's still being made out to be really smart, but he's still in fourth grade.
I don't think so.
Technically, he's still a fourth grade and education level. He's just going through all the grades.
I don't think so. I think that he actually, with the exception of, things that they intentionally did to try and reduce his drive to want to leave the dome. I think that everything else was right. I think everything else they gave him was real. So mm-hmm.
Even if it's not,
I mean, you do charity appearances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You make your money off of appearances. Trust me, it'll work.
Besides, he wants to do adventuring. He can go walk up through the Arctic, and he'll get sponsors. You can do that, but.
Oh yeah, and I'm sure he can find a really good lawyer who can, take a chunk out of the studio.
Sure. Oh yeah, no kidding.
Now that leaves an interesting unanswered question.
Technically, after the age of 18, he was his own adult, and they had him in captive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and he's got 30 years worth of back pay as being the star of a
successful television show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although they'd have to put the deduction for actually keeping him alive. I should say.
Still isn't going to add up at all.
Eating him, even though he had a job. Yeah, it's weird.
But like, still.
How do you average that stuff out?
Honestly, the question I want answered is what the hell do they do with this giant bubble after he walks out of it?
Oh, they put another kid in it.
Yeah, probably. That would suck.
Yeah, seriously, they put another kid in there.
Well, it depends on how the lawsuit between Truman and them went, because they kept him after, like I said, they kept him after the age of 18. Technically, it's a hostage situation.
Yeah,
even
this
though
could have
it's
been
funny, because the company legally adopted him, I'm like,
Yeah.
Yeah, they already covered that, you can't do that. So, throwing that reality out.
Yeah, but I don't think that had been covered by 1998.
No, I hadn't yet. Well, it hadn't really been a widely known fact anyway. I don't think anybody even considered it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it does leave a lot of questions left unanswered that would make for a really interesting separate film. I'm not even going to call it a sequel because it would be a whole different feel.
Mm-hmm.
But
I wouldn't want to watch it. I didn't really enjoy this one. I don't want to watch that one either.
I know.
Don't answer my questions. I like having questions.
Yeah.
Either way, though, I think we'd have like a fun Truman versus television company A courtroom drama show. That would be awesome.
Leave me the one thing I enjoyed after watching this movie was let's put a lot of hypothetical questions in there.
Yep.
Either way, though. Okay, so Truman walks out the door, and I'm just going to call that because there's no need to do a scene by scene after breaking down the characters of this film.
No. I think we've pretty much covered all of the questions that this raised and all of the interesting bits of this movie. The one other one that I did really like is I like the way they went back to old style commercials in the show.
Yeah.
I really like the product placement aspect of this.
I find it hilarious that he always had that weird, like, what are you doing expression on his face. Like, after 30 years, you wouldn't have caught on.
Oh, yeah. And, no, I like the product placement. Meryl was terrible about
it.
No kidding.
I love the beer. Like, that was awesome. Your product placement.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good one.
But I laughed when I realized, gee, what happens when, the beer sponsor backs off and somebody else gets a bid on it? How do they play that in the TV series?
He buys a different brand.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but then he has to play up that brand. And if Truman goes, well, oh, you switched beers. Why'd you switch beers? And then he gives an entire spiel. I'm like, I wonder how many times he had to do that.
Noah Emmerich was decent at improv. Like, he wasn't great, but he was the best person on this cast.
Yeah, when he looks at the camera, he's like, he's gone. I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah, I mean, that's
he dropped character way too fast.
That's him dropping character.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was him deciding enough's enough, but it's like, that just happened too fast. Either way, though, moving on into buff quotes. And Scully, would you like to start us off?
Sure. If his was more than just a vague ambition, if he was absolutely determined to discover the truth, there's no way we could prevent him.
Which turned out to be true.
Yep.
All right, Lisa?
Where's the TV guide?
I'm sorry, that was so deadpan, it was funny. All right, Carl?
Yes, can you tell her that I had to go to Fiji, and I'll call her when I get there?
That sounds like you. It really does. Like, the more I hear
and
that...
then he would forget to call when he got there.
He would. Absolutely. We'd hear from like 3 months later. Anyway.
What took you so long to get to Fiji again?
I went by sailboat.
Traffic. By sailboat? There you go. All right. And my quote was, somebody help me, I'm being spontaneous. Oh, I love that whole scene, the circle drive scene.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm going to puke. Me too.
That scene was probably my favorite in the film. That or the elevator, the doctor elevator thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. When the doctor's like, amputating.
It's like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
He's here.
When they knock over the pan and the guy sits up. Anyway. All right, so that moves us into Best Buffed. And Carl, you want to start us out with Best Buffed?
Yeah, I got one for this one. This is getting the Anti-Demolition Man Award for futuristic reality shows that don't involve people being brutally murdered.
I want to know how that ties into Demolition Man.
Demolition Man was – wait, no. Demolition Man wasn't a reality show, was it? I'm getting it confused with a different one. What was that movie?
I don't know. Although it does kind of make me think of the Doctor Who episode where they did the reality shows.
There is an old sci-fi movie in that Demolition Man era that I always get confused with Demolition Man.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, all the prisoners were forced to into like this race / survival thing.
Running Man.
Huh?
Running Man.
Running Man. That was it.
It was like 10 years earlier.
Yeah. Sorry, the Running Man Award, the Anti-Running Man Award, then.
Gotcha. Okay, Scully.
So we do have a West Wing walk-on for both Noah Emmerich and Philip Baker Hall. Yep. This also gets the Company Casting Couch Award because, holy shit, every extra in here has been an extra in every other movie. Including the, who has the other connection awards? I guess, Rod, you can take those, or Lisa.
I don't do connection awards because I can never figure them out.
Like there was
Star Trek connection awards.
Two Star Trek connections. There was no Whedon connection. There were the Roseanne ones.
Yeah, that was as close as we could get.
We also had the Babylon 5.
Wasn't there a Battlestar Galactica?
There was a Battlestar Galactica.
There was some old crap, like the Patty Duke show.
Yep. There were a couple MacGyvers.
Oh, we're not even going there. The mullet creeps me out. I never could watch that.
Awesome. I have one last award for it. It's called the Presidential Award for having both Mr. and Mrs. Adams from the John Adams series playing in the same movie.
All right. Lisa, Best Buffed.
I am going to give this the Candid Camera... If I could learn how to talk, people. Candid Camera Award for The Truman Show.
Yep.
Smile, you're on Candid Camera. And the award for not acting goes to the actors for not acting.
I'm confused.
Yeah, I do want to give an award to every good actor in this movie, with the exception of Jim Carrey, who had to pretend to be a bad actor.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's hard.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, was that all of yours?
Yes. Please.
Okay, I am giving this the Better Than Snooki Reality Show Award. I am also giving this, did you know that your wife was a whore award? Because seriously, she's getting paid to have sex with him, and nobody covers this.
Oh no, 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 no! Your wife is not only a whore; your wife is a diva.
Your wife is trying to actually have your kid.
Do something.
She's actually trying to get pregnant. She's getting paid to get pregnant.
Yeah. Well, no, that's actually so more common than you realize. But
yes.
Do you know what surrogacy is? Anyway.
Well, that wasn't where I was going with that.
Neither was I.
Let me put it this way. She's technically getting paid to get pregnant with your kid when you're not really consenting for that. Like, she's just talking you into it.
But the bright side is national television.
Okay. No,
they don't actually show that. They tend to go over to the window, and there's a breeze, and they usually play.
Wafting.
Yes.
But I do love her diva moment during the breakdown when Marlon comes in and she grabs a hold of him. She's like, "Oh, thank God! How can I be expected to continue like this? It's unprofessional."
It's unprofessional. Love that. Love that. But I am also, as Lisa pointed out, and I was kind of waiting on her to give this one, but the guy in the bathtub gets the porn stash award, which kind of makes me sad because it's the first time we've done that.
I do have one other award that I'm going to give this one. I'm giving the Marilyn Monroe Award for I'm Ready for My Close-Up, Mr. DeVille, to Jim Carrey's ass.
Yeah. Oh my God, there was too much Jim Carrey ass in this movie. There was more Jim Carrey ass in this movie than there was in 6 seasons of In Living Color. And if you've ever watched that show, that joke makes sense.
Yeah, because that show was all about Jim Carrey being an ass.
That show was all about Jim Carrey's ass. Oh, now I'm having.
I don't remember seeing that
of Jim Carrey.
I only remember one, and that's him gardening in that ugly ass outfit.
Yeah, bad.
I remember that one.
And then once again, Meryl does a product placement and the worst possible timing.
Well,
that was a little
better
scary.
Than her Coco one.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it was much better than the Coco.
But, yeah, Jim Carrey's ass gets way too much screen time in this film. And I think...
Hey! I got it! We had a penis award for The Labyrinth. Jim Carrey's ass gets the same award.
Yes.
What was that award for The Labyrinth? That was David Bowie's cock piece or something? I don't remember that.
David Bowie's cock award.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so now we have the image of David Bowie's cock and Jim Carrey's ass in our head. Thank you very much, Lisa.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Way to go. Full circle.
And what's the really funny... Trump
is... Made, it's...
The really, really funny thing is if that couple actually happened, I think it'd be the other way around.
No one knows.
I don't want to know. I'm not thinking about it. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to move on into Were You Playing With Your Willy? Oh, yes. God.
So 100%.
Lisa, ask questions, please, for the love of God.
Oh, let's see. What kind of pizza does Truman order?
Extra plankton. Large extra plankton.
Oh, that's the scene you were talking about.
Yes, yes. Extra plankton award. Okay. Pizza, whatever.
I was not thinking. I'm trying to remember them having pizza when they were out hitting golf balls off the pier.
My screen wasn't big enough to see that.
I don't even remember them.
I don't know if they did or not. Like, that's what I was trying to remember.
They didn't. They were just drinking beer.
And it wasn't even they, it was just... Marlon drinking beer.
Yeah.
What does every time you see Sylvia, what is she wearing?
The nurse outfit?
No, she's wearing that red sweater.
I remember sweater. I think it was like pink or something.
It's the button. How's it gonna end?
Oh no, the bracelet. She's wearing the blue beaded bracelet.
That's right. Because when you see her,
Scully got it, and however, I will correct Rod, it was red.
Was it red?
Okay. But that's the one that she leaves behind, so she's talking about every time you see her, even outside of the show.
She is wearing the beads.
Yeah.
Okay, Carl.
All right, let's see. What's the name of the what is the name of the chicken company that sponsors
Kaiser Chicken?
Oh. Kaiser.
That was when I realized there were advertisements. I was like, "Oh, you're kidding me."
All right. Yep. And what is Truman's license plate number?
816 K as in kangaroo, A as in apple, Z as in zebra.
Damn. Okay. Thanks, Kelly's winning this one.
Literally, these are the only questions I have written down. I'm freaking screwed when it's my turn.
All your questions.
Literally, that's all of them. I have a couple, I think.
Right. Rod or Scully, whose turn's next? I think Rod just got pulled away from the screen.
I think it's Scully's turn.
Yeah, but I think Rod got pulled away.
Yeah. So we can wait, but I was just clarifying whose turn it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ireland woke up. Hi, Ireland. Go back to sleep.
Like, how quietly can he escape the bed? You back?
Yes, sorry.
It's okay.
Scully did a clean sweep of my questions because all of my questions were also hers.
Yep.
Nice. Okay, do you have any others, Scully?
Sure. What day was it when they started? What was the day of airing?
One.
No.
Oh. Oh, you know what day
it is. I remember it being on the screen.
Oh, crap. I don't remember. I remember them saying, but I don't remember what it was.
It was hint, it's not visually on the screen. It's sitting on the TV itself.
Yeah, and I don't remember what it is.
There were two spots. There were two dates that were there. But
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't
give up.
Lisa, do you remember?
Nope.
Nope. It was 10,909.
Oh, you meant, okay. You weren't asking what we thought you were asking.
Oh, no, this is the first one. Because there was another one on the day that they had a flashback.
No. We thought you were asking what day did the show start airing, the Truman Show?
Oh, no. It was how many days has it been running?
How many days had it been running?
Yeah.
Wow. We started. Which I thought was 10,901.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I still wouldn't have got that. Okay, what's your other question?
All right. What radio station channel does he listen to all the time?
I knew I should have wrote that down.
93.7?
No.
I know I'm close.
103.7, I want to say.
No.
I remember thinking, I need to write
Carl's
this down.
Carl's closest.
Yeah, I remember it was 90-something.
Gonna guess, Lise?
No.
97.2.
Ah.
I remember hearing it and thinking, I should write that down. And then I thought, nah, nobody's going to ask that. That's too easy. That was
the one. Thinking the 100 and something is because that's the one it keeps flipping to.
When that was the one it flipped to first, yeah. When it went to suddenly scanning the quote-unquote police station, the next one was a 102 that it went
to. Yeah, it kept flipping between the 97 and the 10-something.
Yep.
Okay. Well, as for my question, since you asked that one, I'm going to ask something from the same scene. Okay. When Truman has the radio tuned into the frequency from the command center, he pulls into a parking lot and parks. When he gets out of the car, behind him is what looks like a pool shack, a lighthouse, and one other building that has the name on the sign. What kind of business is in that building?
A market?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, wait, no, the market's not there in that scene. It's, I can't remember what it is now.
I had to pause it to read the sign, to be honest.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I can't remember.
Lisa?
I think Lisa's pretty much checked out of this movie.
No, I'm thinking.
Oh.
Bookstore.
No. Close? Well, not close, but good guess. It's a savings and loan or bank.
Okay.
Okay, my other one, let's see, which one do I want to use? Okay, in the basement there's a wall border that looks like it's being saved for the baby and hasn't been put up yet. What is the pattern and color?
The pink flowers.
Close.
I'll say it's yellow flowers in a blue background.
Not even close.
I don't know.
Lisa? I remember it was ugly.
Yeah, it was really ugly.
Yeah. Oh, I have such a good question now. If I hadn't already asked mine.
I'm going to go with pink and green.
Do you want to take a stab at the pattern other than pink and green?
Flowers.
It was actually pink and white, but I would have taken pink, and it was ribbons.
Oh, ribbons.
Oh, okay.
Scully went up that.
Scully went it, like, hands down?
Oh, yeah, it was 3-1.
Okay, I was going to say, I got a bonus question. What was the border on?
What was what?
What was the border hanging on in the basement? Anybody?
I have no idea.
No?
Like, I don't even really remember the border in the basement.
It was a wire clothes hanger. Anyway. All right, so that means Scully gets to ask her audience question.
Cool. What was the name of the Dalmatian that kept jumping on him?
I almost answered that.
I know.
And why is it funny?
Because you get to see him run. Anyway, that was a joke. All right, Carl, you a second?
Yeah, I'm going to ask this one. There's a camera hidden in Truman's trunk. Where is the camera? What's the camera hidden in?
Behind the mafioso body?
No.
All right.
You do mean the trunk of his car.
No. The trunk, the trunk that he keeps all the photos and stuff in. There's actually a camera hidden in it.
Oh, yeah. But we're not. There's no cameras in Truman's ass. That's what
it is. No, there's no cameras in Truman's head.
On his ass, but not in his ass. Anyways. Okay, Lisa?
Where did Sylvia's family say they were taking her?
Huh? Okay. Here's a hint. It wasn't Paris, but we'll always...
That was one of my questions. Before somebody, like, kept blatantly saying it.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Okay, and as for mine, when you first meet the twins, what design is on their ties?
Ooh.
I need color and pattern.
And as always, you can submit your questions by going to our website, moviesinthebuff.com, and clicking on the form.
And it's under games, for the record.
Yep, and nobody has sent in any.
All right, so that leaves us with mental debuff. Scully, would you like to debuff?
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with this movie, so...
I'm not really sure where to go with that.
Everybody's like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah. It's a social commentary movie on society. Hence, that's what it is. But if I wanted to watch that, I'd watch something postmodern and better than that, like Cat's Cradle or The Life of Pi. I'm not going to watch this.
Well, you took away my ammunition by saying The Life of Pi. Anyway.
Yep.
I was like, you know why no one's ever heard of that, right? And then you said Life of Pi. I was like, well, never mind. That joke doesn't work. All right. Carl?
You know,
I could have also said Atlas Shrugged.
Even with all the issues that I have, you know, that I have watching this movie to review it, I still end up, you know, I still end up feeling good watching this movie. And, you know, like we said earlier, some of the best parts about it are the questions that it doesn't answer.
I can agree with all that. All right, Lisa?
Dude, I'm so glad this movie's over. Can I have the last 2 hours back, please?
See, never mind, never mind.
And it's not 2 hours long.
It's not, it's not.
God, but... I swear it was, because I started it at like 9 o'clock at night, and it didn't finish until 11:30 almost, I think.
Nope.
It was after my bedtime.
Oh, 30 minutes, it's under 2 hours.
Okay. Well, that being said, we all know what time it is.
Yay.
So...
Time to mute.
Oh, wait.
I'm still waiting.
She
I know. I know. The point being that you can't tell me not to wait if you mute your mic. Or tell me to go ahead. Anyway, okay. The Truman Show is a timeless tale of happiness, endurance, and good triumphing over evil. Or it's a tale of a psychopath with severe narcissistic tendencies and a penchant for doing stupid shit that probably should have gotten him killed. And for the record, we are reviewing The Truman Show and not Carl's autobiography. That being said, this movie is a feel-good flick, or a feel-yourself flick. It has everything from comedy to drama, but no violence, nudity, or overly vulgar language. Still, if you get a chance, go watch The Truman Show, and try ignoring the 20 minutes of Jim Carrey's ass shoved into the camera. Seriously, there was more ass in this movie than a 45-minute gay orgy porn themed on Star Wars. And it belonged to Jim fucking Carrey. I haven't been this disturbed since I saw him in drag on In Living Color. If you want 30 minutes of black jokes, there's a show for you. And the best part is, most of the jokes are named Wayans. Much love to Jim Carrey, though this flick definitely ranks in my top 10. And to be honest, I love watching it over after so many years. It disturbs me, but in a good way. Kind of like popping virgin... that joke's too far even for me. I can't do it. I'm above this. Who the fuck is writing this shit? Oh yeah, that's me. Okay, now that I officially disturbed you more than the pedophile in a brownie convention joke, I will leave you with some wise words from a great man. Maybe there is no actual place called hell. Maybe hell is just having to listen to your grandparents breathing through their noses while they're eating sandwiches. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Rod's rants.
Okay, I gotta ask.
There's a place too far for you to go?
No. The last part.
That was a Jim Carrey quote.
Oh, okay.
He said that in an interview.
Nice.
Okay. So, next week, we're doing Lockout, which is a movie that no one's ever heard of. Ever. But it stars Guy Pearce, who no one has cared about in 20 years. Actually, you know what? I don't actually know who Guy Pearce is. Does anybody know who Guy Pearce is?
An actor?
I'd have to go look it up really quick.
Yeah, looking.
Yeah, this is gonna bug me. He was in Memento, apparently. Oh, yeah.
The Hurt Locker and Prometheus.
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of recognize him.
He is the guy that invented the I Know That Guy award.
Oh, really?
No, but I'm saying that...
No, I invented that.
I know, but I'm saying that this is why that award exists, is because of Guy Pearce. And he's starring in this movie. Anyway, a former government agent, yada, 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 wrongly accused. It's a pretty tropey storyline, as far as I can tell, but no one's seen this movie, have they? Has anybody?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that was me.
Yeah, that would have been a Lisa pick, because she's right after I am.
Yeah.
So, we're going to watch Lockout in the Buff next week, and yeah, I can't really say anything else about it.
Nope.
So until then, keep watching those movies in the buff. You know, it's just better that way. And in case we don't see you, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good evening and good night.
Hey, buffers. Don't forget to check out our new website, moviesinthebuff.com, and like us on Facebook and Google+, or follow us on Twitter at moviesinthebuff. You can also follow your team at debauchery, me at Rod the Golden.
At Scully44.
At Kith Kanan.
And at Acorna Witch.
You can email us at inthebufffilms@gmail.com.
Movies in the Buff is now also available on Stitcher Smart Radio. Find out more at stitcher.com or download the app today.
Movies in the Buff is distributed under a Creative Commons
Attribution
Non-Commercial
No Derivatives
3.0 U.S. License.